I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Hello, we are back. Can you believe it? The world was falling apart, so we had to return. 2020, we're here to save you. The three of us have returned. Woohoo!
What is this? After like a year of being away, that's our intro. Hey!
I lost confidence in it. The silence.
It was hard. It was a hard intro.
If you lose confidence, just give yourself a woohoo. It's the only... I gave a speech at school once and it went nowhere and there was a big pause and I just went, woohoo!
And you won the competition. He's right.
People started laughing. Clap, yeah. And it just spurred on a bit of, it is a woohoo. Let's do it.
Honestly, so many politicians could learn so much from you about how to get people on board in a rally.
Not only that, but I then took that woohoo-ness into the army and, you know, as a sergeant in cadets, I would use that as a force to get us through the bush. So when people are a bit down, I'd go, come on, guys, woohoo! And then everyone would go, woohoo!
And the enemy would go, I've worked out where they are.
Yeah. Darby's in command. We've got them. He's woohooing. So it was often followed by a, oh, no! Get down! Anyway, we haven't even got on the tracks yet and we're off the tracks.
Wow, it has been quite some time since we've all sat here. So much has happened.
Well, so much has happened that an entire other podcast has happened that we have done. Now, of course, you know, Dan's been doing his own thing, many things. I'm not going to speak for you, Dan, but we all know about your fantastic podcast success. Leon and I went and did Aliens Like Us. We did 10 episodes of that and we spoke to some amazing people about the UFO situation, which is still growing to this day. Disclosure is that door is almost open. You can see through it. We can literally see the aliens on the other side, but we can't grab them or put our hands through, mainly because of COVID as well. So they're kind of closing the door as well, going, no, you've had your time now. You kind of, you know, put your masks on.
You're sort of peeking through the letterbox is effectively what you're doing. You're flipped up on the inside, You know someone's home.
We've proven they're there. I think we did, and that was all I wanted to do with that series. They are real. Whether they're us from the future or not is another, I think Buttons will say yes to that, won't you, Buttons?
Of course it will. I think what happened is that with Disclosure happening, the aliens were sitting there going, everybody's getting a little too close, everybody. And then our show came out and the aliens were like, oh no, they've got the experts on now. No, we're gonna, and nobody's seen a UFO since we did that show. I think.
What?
Really?
Yeah, because all
that's
the
a
aliens,
big call. All, I know that's not true.
No.
But I'll go with it, yeah.
No. But I think that they just knew that we were going to be the ones that were going to reveal right. it all. And that's okay. why we only got one series as well, is because the aliens yeah. contacted Spotify,
it was
I
shut
think,
down.
And said, you've yeah. got to shut this shit down.
Okay, so hang on, hang on, hang on. Yeah. We were on the brink of working out that life in the universe existed. We were finally yeah. getting the answer to the big thing. And you two,
well,
you
we
two.
Were, you were there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. You two then have stopped that. You've scared them away, and we no longer will have contact with aliens, thanks to aliens like us.
Yeah.
That's not something to be proud of.
Yeah, I think, well, there's got to be a reason for the sudden shutdown after getting too close.
Mm, yeah.
And, you know, and I think COVID then struck the world, you know, on a serious note. That kind of put everyone into a crazy spin. Felt like we all fell into another dimension. Everyone left where they were they left where they were. It's done wonders for my vernacular and the way I speak.
It's amazing. How do you do it?
But long story short, Buttons and I left the States. We fled back to New Zealand, which, you know, as you know, ended up becoming safe after a good lockdown and a well-behaved society. What about you, Dan? What happened to you during the COVID era?
I was sitting in my in-law's house getting ready to have our second child. Fenella and I were getting ready for our second baby,
wow.
and it hit. So we ended up having our second son during the peak week of COVID in the UK in a hospital that was a COVID
Amazing.
Hospital. But he arrived. He's safe. Whoa. His name's Ted Harpo Schreiber, and this is a photo from him earlier tonight.
Woo-hoo! Oh, look at
so
that.
So cute.
Oh, look at that shirt he's wearing. Oh, my God.
Do you know what he's wearing?
Another member.
Oh.
Buttons, he is wearing a baby grow that you sent for my first son that took so long to arrive, it never fit my first son. And I had to pick it up.
Can you put it up?
Oh, my God. You know what? No, I knew that. I knew you were going to – I can see into the future. I knew you were going to have another son. And I sent that gift early. So
nice.
There we go.
This is my son, Ted Harpo Schreiber.
Ah, what a cutie.
In a Cryptid cool. Factor baby grow, sent by
and
Buttons.
There it is. That's a beautiful shot. Now, can I just also confirm? Now, those are available, aren't they, online at the Cryptid Factor store? Is that correct?
That is correct. You can also get a Cryptid Factor shower curtain, a Cryptid Factor beach towel, and some Cryptid Factor
That's
socks.
Right.
Oh, don't forget the iPhone 6 cover.
Just the iPhone 6.
Yeah,
it?
Just the iPhone 6. That's all. That was a great iPhone. You get like
it's the most
know.
Popular iPhone, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't believe the hype about the 7s and the 8s. Okay, so well, that's good. Good. Well, I think we've all caught up. By the way, I'm no longer in New Zealand. I've had to return to LA. I've got to reconfirm my green card situation, but my plan is to return to New Zealand soon and quarantine again. It's a weird life right now. And that's a weird picture. It looks like we're just that's Buttons. That's your gut. What the hell?
I just thought I'd show you quickly that I've been eating a lot during lockdown. Not only have I worked on my standby chin quite a bit,
and
I'm quite proud of how that's coming along.
Your backup safety chin
also,
is very good.
My tummy is like I've expanded that, so I've done quite a lot of expansion.
So New Zealand's been good to you.
It's been too safe. New Zealand's been too safe. You know, I haven't had to run away from anybody and get exercise. It's been fine.
I love that Reese is telling us something really sincere and important about his trip to America and how he's being responsible and not going out. And you're like, all right, this is getting a bit dull. How do I save this? Show me your tummy. Show me your tummy, Buttons.
I'm bored.
Look, I've got a tummy! I've got a tummy!
Guys, look! No, it's to be fair, I was looking over my laptop lid and I just closed it a little bit. So for every now and then...
Well, don't keep doing it! Please don't keep doing it! Anyway, it feels good to be back. I think there's a lot of listeners out there that definitely need us right now. They need cryptozoology. They need weekly world weird news. And they need the three of us bantering our tails off in three completely separate locations on Earth.
Here, here. Here, here.
Yeah.
I could not.
Here.
Here, and here.
Here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's kick into the show. Let's do our first segment.
Weekly World Weird News.
It's crazy. Freaky. Watch out.
Should we do headlines? Or what?
Yeah. Let's rock into headlines. Let's do our headline off. What have you guys got?
Well, I've got, this is something a bit close to home to you boys, but I found this fascinating, and this will probably be very obvious to you guys as New Zealanders, but to the rest of the world, I think this will be fascinating. There is an interesting dispute about whether or not New Zealand is going to continue to have a government official wizard going forward.
Oh.
You currently have a wizard. He's paid $10,000 a year, but he's going to hand over to another wizard, and we don't know if that post is going to continue. It's all up for grabs. It's down to Jacinda.
Why does he have to hand it over?
He's 87 years...
Well, hang on, we're just doing headlines. We're not going into the news.
God.
No, but did you just say he's 87?
He's 87 years old, so he's ending his wizarding life.
This is
a Gandalf Frodo moment.
I mean, this, you're literally talking about Gandalf, aren't you? Are you on the Lord of the Rings fan side again, are you? I told you none of that's real.
This is them.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, we'll get into it, but that's my headline.
What have you got?
Well, unfortunately, I've got some sad news. Palmerston has retired.
What?
Yeah.
Palmerston.
So more about that when we get into the actual story.
Oh, okay.
What have you got, Buttons?
Okay, my headline, it's very worthy, is Mum inundated with Chewbacca roars after bitter breakup.
Oh.
Okay.
There you go.
that actually rings a bell, that one.
Does it? What's it about?
Yeah. Eh? Oh, it's a space bell. It's more of a...
That is very bell. Spacey. It also sounds like a really futuristic door opening.
Well, that's someone who saw you coming to ring the door, but got there just as you rang it and opened the door.
Yeah. Okay, should we go into those newses or do another round?
We can do another round.
Or...
Yeah.
No, let's.
Oh, okay, if you want to.
No, let's go into those stories.
Let's go into those stories and then we'll do another round after that and pick which ones are the best. Or how does it work?
Yeah.
I can't remember. It's been so long.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to. Yeah. Well, let's just. I mean, my one.
Buttons
will
has
be
got
best
one story.
Anyway,
that's
so
it. That's what's
fine.
Happening. Here.
Let's go into those ones.
Guys, I just knew that one was going to be good enough to. I saw that one and said, I can stop researching now. That's
perfect. You know why I said it rang a bell? Because it's about 2 years old, that one. So you have not changed.
No, it's been about 2 years since we did the last show, so it's still new.
So you just still got overflowing news from the last season.
I'm going to catch up. We're going to do, like... mate.
No story left untold, guys.
There is so much good material that I'm not going to look past, okay?
In other news, the iPhone 6 has just been released and we've got awesome new merchandise in the Crypto Factor store.
What's that? You've gone back to the iPhone 6. Good on you, because we've got brand new covers.
Hey, it's just that people need to hear these stories.
True.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's kick in then. Dan, you go first.
Yeah, so New Zealand has a wizard, and this is a wizard that you guys gained back in the, I think it was the 1970s. So this is, we're talking very much pre the association that New Zealand has with obviously The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. And and he's a British guy originally called Ian Brackenbury, and he settled in New Zealand in the 70s, and he did it as a sort of joke, but He eventually became wizard after he was invited to a town, which is not far from Christchurch, Waimate, and they had a drought on in 1988. So the organizers of a local agricultural fair invited him to perform a rain dance. And he came, and he did, and after a few hours it started raining, and he was just seeing... Wow. They didn't think that he'd actually done magic, but they thought, well, this guy's good luck. So at the time, there was a prime minister you guys had in the 90s called Mike Moore, and Mike Moore wrote to him, he gave an official letter suggesting that he should consider becoming the official wizard of New Zealand and Antarctica as well. So New Zealand, Antarctica.
Oh, including Antarctica.
He threw that in, and any offshore areas as well.
So literally the wizard of two continents, Zealandia and Antarctica.
Exactly. So
how could you say no to that?
Yeah. So he got given a salary, and he's had a salary ever since, which has been $10,000 American, so 16,000 New Zealand roughly. And it's just what a cool thing. And you can go, he's big for overseas people. He come, you know, when people go over, they visit him. He's on TripAdvisor. He's got 4 out of 5 stars as a human on TripAdvisor.
Wow.
But he's 87, so there's a lot of talk about what happens when he steps down. And for the last few years, he's had an apprentice wizard who's a bit annoyed he's called an apprentice wizard. He thinks of himself as an actual wizard. He's done it for so long now. And the idea is that it's going to be handed over to him. But because it's a government thing, who knows if Jacinda, or however your elections go in September, whoever's going to...
So Jacinda. Yep.
I think literally the whole world is hoping that happens.
Oh, man.
Who knows if she's gonna continue honoring this new wizard with the agreement of the old wizard. So big times in the wizarding world in New Zealand.
Can I just say this, that Jacinda is the one person who, during the lockdown, named the Tooth Fairy as one of the essential services. So I would, going on that basis, I would say that she's probably going to continue with the wizard.
Well,
if she doesn't, the fairies are going to be really angry. It's like that, you know.
I would concur. And just as a side note, I know of the wizard. When I lived in Christchurch, I had some dealings with the guy.
Did you?
What happened? Some dealings. Was he selling drugs?
I was wanting to cast a spell. I was looking for the Eye of Newt and Frog's Tongue.
Oh my God.
I was unlucky in love. You know me. I've always wanted to get with a girl. And I thought if I had some sort of love potion, something that I could concoct, and maybe I'd do a bit better with the ladies at university.
Wow.
But anyway, he didn't really help out much in that regard. But I do recall seeing him a lot in Cathedral Square in Christchurch. He had a V-dub, and literally, I joined two cars there for no reason, but ironically, so did he, because this V-dub that he had, it had the front half of a V-dub for the front half of the car, and then the back half of the car was also the front of a V-dub, so he'd cut the car in half, two fronts of a V-dub, joined them together, and that was his car. It was ridiculous. It was like a push me, pull you.
There's a couple of things with that, Reese, that you just pointed out. You went to get a love potion, which you said didn't work.
Mm.
I'd encourage you to never play this episode to Rosie, your wife.
This is before her time.
Yeah, but it clearly worked at some
point. Maybe it took a while to kick in. Yeah.
But then secondly, I don't believe that for a second. I reckon you had gone to the wizard to make a pact to become the New Zealand's funniest man. And he gave you some kind of potion.
No one can believe that I'm naturally this gifted.
And exactly. You're too gifted.
I hear it all the time.
You're too gifted. It's not plausibly ever possible for one man to be this funny. And I reckon you sold your soul to the wizard.
Wow.
And he's got it in a little jar somewhere. And I reckon that he is the keeper of your soul. But in exchange, he gave you the great gift of comedy. And at some point, there's going to be like a Crossroads movie kind of style playoff where you versus Satan telling the best jokes ever. And it would be like,
You know what? I mean, I'm loving this as a movie idea.
See, another free movie idea.
I think we've got it. That's a great one. I mean, I can see the scripting of that. It's a bit like Pick of Destiny, and also all of the Lord of the Rings films, and
Crossroads. Crossroads.
And Crossroads. Not to mention Crossroads. But wow. Yeah, well, you know, my secrets will not be revealed. But yes, so that wizard, he's a very famous. And, you know, I was just saying to my wife the other day, who I met and fell in love with due to a magic potion, that whatever happened to the wizard?
Right.
And we were thinking about that. And so you've just enlightened us.
It's something I think we need to stay on top of. Is this going to happen? Is he gonna get the 16,000 New Zealand every year to continue wizarding?
Let's all write to Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Guys, you don't need to write. Let's be totally frank here. You two know her so well, you could literally text her right now.
Everybody does. Everybody could text her right now in New Zealand. Everybody gets given her number. It's like, oh, do you want something changed in New Zealand? Just text this number. And
text me now. What about her 0800 ads in the morning, her infomercials? Are you happy? If not, text me now. Or just come and see me. I'm just outside. Because we can go outside. No masks required.
It's so true. It is. That's unfortunately so amazing. Very true.
Can I ask quickly, Reese, about his VW? So when he's driving it, it's only obviously got one direction. He hasn't put two engines in that can go both way, presumably.
Yeah, I don't know the exact details there. I presume it's, only one half of it's got the engine in, which would be probably still in the back. Well, it drives normally, but I haven't seen it for years. I don't know what happened.
But it would look like he's reversing. If he was in front of you, he'd be reversing away from you. That's incredible.
Can I just point a couple of things out? I'm sorry to be just such a, curmudgeon.
Oh, here we
today,
go. But here we go.
First of all, the engine in a Volkswagen Beetle is in the back. So effectively, he has two fronts with no engine in them. So it's probably more likely it's like a Flintstones car and he's running underneath.
Maybe there's no engine.
Yeah. And then secondly, it's like even if I think it's when you're going the other way towards, I think that's called reverse. You could probably just, the engine probably has the ability to like go in reverse and then it looks like it's going frontwards even when it's in reverse. So reverse wouldn't actually be called reverse. It'd just be called the one gear forward that way. And then the other way would have four gears forward.
Mate, show us your tummy again.
Wow, that's
show us
interesting
your tummy.
Stuff.
There we go.
Oh, you've actually lost weight in it.
Yes, it's been very stressful for the last 20 minutes.
Is that where you store your bullshit and then when you get rid of it?
I've lost about 3 pounds of bullshit in the last 20 minutes. It's been amazing. Guys, by the end of the show, I'm going to be so fit. It's honestly.
Well, anyway, that's a mystical start to the show. Now, let's move into some sad news. Palmerston has retired. Now, I'm not talking about Palmerston North, the city in New Zealand, which, let's be honest, retired back in the 70s. I'm talking about Palmerston, the UK's top diplomatic cat and official chief mouser, who until recently worked at the UK Foreign Office. So unfortunately, or rather fortunately for him, he's decided to retire. This beautiful little cat apparently had such a good time during lockdown that he has decided to leave the sorting out of internal foreign affairs to the humans. Let's have a look. So not only did this cat retire, he sent an official letter. An official letter was sent in his name to Simon MacDonald, the office's permanent undersecretary, which explained that he wanted more time away from the limelight. I have found life away from the front line relaxed, quieter, and easier. A letter signed with two paw prints said, and it was posted on Twitter.
Man, Boris Johnson having such a bad time that even the cats are handing in resignation notes in this country.
I want to show you, this is a cute picture of this cat. So there he is.
Oh, he's beautiful.
Look at him. How awesome does he look?
He was great. Oh,
he's so cool.
Yeah, so...
he looks really young. He doesn't look like he's retirement age. Is he? How old is he?
But he's been there for ages.
Palmerston, who was named after the longest-serving British Foreign Secretary, Lord Palmerston, arrived in April 2016 as a rescue cat. He had plenty of company, though sometimes less than smooth diplomatic relations with Larry, the cat in residence at nearby 10 Downing Street. The two were sometimes seen fighting in the street outside the British Prime Minister's home.
Very unbecoming.
That was big news here. I remember him and Larry having problems. That's having issues, Larry and Palmerston. Yeah, that was sort of headline BBC News here when that happened.
So just to finish off the story, John Benjamin, director of the department's Diplomatic Academy, wished him a very happy retirement. He left us a slightly chewed dead mouse next to my desk at UK Dip Academy once. He tweeted, adding, "We were, of course, not very grateful."
But he's doing his job.
Doing his job.
That's his job.
That's like, okay.
I can see a movie coming, like a cat spy movie. I know they've done Cats versus Dogs, which was a spy thing, which was, you know.
No, do you know the movie? And here's another free movie idea for the world to take. Because, you know, we need one every, you know, few minutes. Yeah. A cat that is there as the official mouser, but actually late at night when he's got free run of entire parliament, is going in and changing everything around and changing policies and, you know, moving bits and pieces around that actually make a real life effect on the country. So he's going into the computer and opens up a file and bashes at a keyboard and changes like key parts of policies that then get passed in Parliament, and the world becomes a better place.
Very cool.
Or worse place if it's an evil cat.
I've got the title.
And maybe it is...
what? Parb Meowland.
The worst title ever created.
Oh, no, that's really good. I don't know if it works. It works for me.
I think it only works with that title because you have no confidence in the movie whatsoever with that title. And then you'll be blown away by how average it is.
Okay, well, then on to my story.
Yeah.
With the fantastic title of Chewbacca, a mum inundated with Chewbacca roars after a bitter breakup. So this is kind of a little bit of a, you know, a terrible story, and I'm not encouraging this kind of activity at all, but it is Australia, and we know how Australians can be, quite frankly. They can be a bit bitter, they can be a bit revengeful. And basically what's happened is there's been a bit of breakup between this lovely woman and a bit of a psychopath ex-boyfriend. And to get his revenge, this ex-boyfriend has put notices up all around their local town that say, "Chewbacca Roar Contest. Call this number, leave a voicemail with your best impersonation of Chewbacca, and win $100. And so people just will not stop calling this woman and leaving their Chewbacca noises, which is terrible for this woman. Like, how petty and what a stupid, stupid thing. But can I, though, just quickly play to you the news article from Australian media, Channel 9, I think. Here we go.
A Cairns mother has been forced to block dozens of calls after her ex-partner allegedly took her phone number and plastered it on poles here around the CBD, telling people to call up and impersonate Chewbacca for a chance to win $100.
This would be the most childish breakup I've ever had. Like, all you had to do was be mature and go, "I don't love you anymore, I want to move on."
The calls have been waking her and her three young children up at odd hours in the evening, and they're yet to stop.
$1,500.
Well, I'm getting phone calls at really strange hours of the night, about 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock.
Forced to call back the wannabe Wookiees and tear down the posters.
So those two Wookiee calls, one was actually fantastic, but also I think that actually deserves $100. I don't condone the activity. It's terribly juvenile, but it was a great Chewbacca call, the first one. The second one.
Almost like it might have been off Star Wars.
Oh, that's a good one, Buttons.
That's actually a genius idea. Why wouldn't you just call the number and play a Chewbacca call from the movie?
Well, why would you do that anyway? Why would you do any of it? Oh, to win the $100, I suppose.
Yeah, but if you thought, if you thought it was legit, and if it was legit, if there was like a strange Chewbacca call competition,
yeah. Did she say she was calling them back at the end of that piece?
I think so. She had to determine which one got the $100.
This gives me an idea, though. We should have a line that people can call for us.
Oh, yes.
And they could do their best Yeti or Sasquatch impression.
Oh, yes.
And leave it on a line for us, and we can play them in the show. Why don't we do that? It could be a nice positive.
I'll give you the phone number. I've got the phone number here. Hang on.
Wait, you better not give them my phone number.
Give them that lady's phone number.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, that's a good first round of news. Do we want to do another round?
We could do quickies.
Let's do a couple of quickies.
I got a super quickie, which I just think is a very fun bit of advice. It's been issued by a national park, which is US government issues bear advice: friends don't let friends get eaten.
That's good advice.
Yeah, and the very basics of it is that they've warned against sacrificing slower friends if a bear attacks. They're encouraging people, if you're running away from a bear and you know your friend is slower, to not sacrifice them, even if the friendship has run its course.
That's
great.
That is brilliant. That's, you know, that when we're all out camping and a bear is chasing us, we should probably take a little vote right now as to which one of us gets sacrificed.
Oh. Well, it's easy. It's just you. It's Buttons, because...
What? Why is it just as to
you're the
me?
Closest
I mean, I'm not
to
shocked.
Being the size of a bear. Right. And on your... Well, no, honestly, when you're on your hind legs, you're quite bearish. And I've seen you, especially when you get excited and wave from a distance.
When I wave my front legs...
When you wave your front legs, your paws are quite big. And so I think the bear might like you and not eat you and just think, oh, he's a brother. So I think that's the best option.
That's exactly what would happen. But we'd see Buttons half an hour later as we're crying that we'd left our friend. He'd be like, guys, I've got a guest for the podcast. We would have. You would fully have made buddies with him.
You can get on with any species. Oh, and I think that's one of your skills.
That's why I'll be invited on the camping trip, just as a bear protection.
Yeah. And I was also thinking, with this new rule, I was thinking that maybe it could be a hot thing to do. Maybe, well, no, hot's probably not the right word, but a popular thing to do for couples who are going to break up, go into the woods to break up.
Good idea.
The relationship's run its course. Where are you taking me? Oh, we're just going into the woods. Like, I've told you, I'm not interested in you anymore. Yeah, neither am I with you. Let's go into the woods and do this for final. Why are we going into the woods? And then... A grizzly bear suddenly arrives, and then it's the survival of the fittest at that point. What happened to your boyfriend? Oh, I dumped him in the woods.
This makes the Chewbacca voicemail look so tame in comparison. Oh, he just left you. You got people leaving with Chewbacca voicemails. My fucking guy had me eaten almost.
And there's definitely a link there. Hey, have you heard about these mystery seeds?
No.
So there are packets of mystery seeds are being sent to people all around the world.
Ooh. What?
And, small bags of seeds turning up in various countries, reportedly all sent from China. That's one of the, ideas. But apparently these seeds are turning up in the US, Europe, Canada, the UK, and even New Zealand.
Come on.
They're coming through customs marked as earrings or earbuds, so that they avoid biosecurity.
And they just turn up to random people.
Yeah, and they're just, and so people don't know how they're getting the addresses of random people, and also the governments are saying to people, do not plant these seeds. Because we don't know what's the story with them. And so the idea that you're getting a mystery packet of seeds, you open it up, because, you know, in this day and age, with all this weird stuff going on, I imagine receiving seeds and then thinking, oh, well, I'll plant those. That's the first thing I'll do with
them. You would want to see
one. Really?
Definitely. Yeah, okay. You know what I would do? I would get a glass house. And then build another glass house on top of that glass house, so it's like a double insulated glass house. What? And then I would put the seed in there, and I would like spray weed killer all around the outside, so it couldn't, like, if it started growing too much, it, you know, like there would be a point it couldn't grow anymore.
Right.
Like just basically like create like a laboratory to grow. I would desperately want to see what these things are. Like, imagine.
It's freaky though.
It is freaky, but you definitely want to see what grew. It could be Jack and the Beanstalk type stuff. It could be magic beans.
It could be. You'd hope so. But listen to this. Florida has recorded more than 630 instances, with one man claiming to have received 3 shipments in a week of these seeds. A woman in Texas said she had received seeds in April and planted them, mistaking them for a gift, but no results as yet.
As yet.
Oh. It's really weird, right? I mean, it's very
paranormal. That's a really cool... It's a cool idea for an alien invasion because, you know, we don't know if any kind of alien that's going to visit the Earth, what kind of material it's going to be based off. E.T., I don't know if you guys know this, but he's not animal, he's vegetable. He comes from a vegetable planet.
Oh,
he's
really?
Made of vegetable. That's the backstory of E.T. So imagine sending seeds to an entire planet and you're planting the army that's going to take over. Backyards all over
God.
The planet. Have planted the enemy that grow.
I've actually got some shocking into this story because I have received myself.
No.
Seeds. You haven't.
No.
And I'm going to do this live on air right now. I'm going to, why not? I'm going to actually eat one of the seeds.
No.
What?
Yeah. I mean, what could possibly
don't
go
do
on?
It. Reese, don't do it. But you're not, it's not really a seed.
Hmm.
What is it? What are you
what's
doing?
What's it taste of?
There could be...
It tastes... It kind of, it's like a sunflower seed. It's weird. They just look like sunflower seeds.
Okay.
I'm just going to eat a couple and just see if anything happens to me over the show.
Are they actual... Did you actually get seeds? You've actually eaten them?
I'm feeling like I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
No shit. Have you... What's going on?
I feel okay.
Oh, man. This is classic behaviour for someone who approaches a New Zealand wizard to get love potions, but he's now eating Chinese seeds sent to him in the mail.
What could go wrong? No, it's 2020.
Fear. No fear. No fear.
Well, more update on that after the...
Okay.
I'm going to have to go and get a drink, actually. Oh, I'll be back in a second.
Okay. Oh, God. It would just be like him... to be the person where the alien invasion starts from.
Oh, no.
From inside his stomach.
From inside.
He would be effectively recreating the alien movie.
Yeah.
He gets all the luck.
Wait, hang on. The guy in the alien movie who has it burst through his chest, no one else was going, he gets all the luck.
But he became famous. Like, you know, he's like lived in pop culture forever.
You're right actually. Yeah,
they made figurines of him. Yeah. I mean, we've all got to die. Why wouldn't you want to die with an alien bursting from your stomach? Uh-oh. Are you all right?
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
I'm fine.
Okay. We were just saying that it's just like you to be the lucky guy that gets to have an alien burst from your stomach, just like the movies.
Yeah.
It's not fair. I want an alien to burst from my stomach.
I was arguing that that's not necessarily like the cool thing in the movie. You're not going, damn,
I want to be that guy.
Sigourney Weaver, no.
Guys. These are just nuts, by the way. They weren't really the seeds.
Oh, yeah. Typical.
I didn't receive any seeds. These are mixed nuts.
I mean, it doesn't need to be said, but 50% of us knew that they were not the nuts.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. I would not.
Well, I'm a good actor, and now and again I've got to prove it and keep proving it to you guys. Yeah. It's a lot of disbelief.
Well, I was there. I was believing you. I was right on.
But you think that the wizard cast a spell on me to make me such a magical, brilliant genius.
Well, I'm the same. It could have been.
I say, nuts to you.
What's amazing is Buttons buys all of this. He buys the China seeds. He buys the wizard potion. What he doesn't buy is a VW cut in half, slammed together.
That doesn't make any sense. There's no engine in that, guys. There's no engine. There's two luggage compartments. You can't drive two luggage compartments.
Let's replay that really dull moment where Buttons described how the car can't possibly work. That was a stunning piece of comedy.
There he is now. I'm just saying it's backwards is actually going forwards. So it's just one backwards gear. And then
you're doing it again.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Help me!
Well, there, as you can imagine, has been a lot of cryptid news while we've been away. Mm. Now, of course, we can't catch up on all of it, but, you know, now is a time when people are locked down, when people aren't working so much, when the world has changed, when perhaps the creatures are coming out more. What do you think, guys?
I think, the way that foxes in London are, like, retaking over the streets, I feel like cryptids, this is their time to sort of just let loose and not have to worry about being hunted.
Yeah, well, there's definitely less of that sort of thing going on. Although one could argue that more people are taking to the bush, more people are getting out of the city, because there's less virus issues out in nature. And it feels better. There's more wind, there's more air. However, I've got a report here of a woman being chased by Bigfoot in New York Park.
What?
Wow.
Now, when I say that, you're thinking Central Park in New York. And I'm thinking of a Concords moment where I go, Central Park in Newark, or whatever it was on the show. I can't remember that. I can't remember what I said now, but I fooled the guys.
You did.
I said a Central Park, not the. It's
a park in the centre. Yeah,
in Newark, not Newark. Newark.
Yeah.
I have trouble describing things. But anyway, this is actually from Hyde Park in the Hudson Valley. So, according to the report, which was received by Bigfoot researcher Gail Beatty, a woman who wishes to remain anonymous, was chased through the trees by a creature. So this is very different, the story, because it's the first one I've ever heard of whereby... we have a swinging Sasquatch from tree to tree.
Right. No.
So this is a, basically the creature jumped up in the tree above her and branches and leaves started falling on her. And then the creature started to move from tree to tree.
And we're sure this isn't some kind of escaped ape or gorilla.
Well, that's one of the theories. Little else is known about the encounter. However, it was considered sufficiently interesting by local station News 12 Westchester to prompt a TV segment. And I've got that here, so let's play that.
Okay.
I'm going to share my screen.
Okay.
That some claim is the loud, ear-aching sound of the creature known as Bigfoot.
This is one from Hyde Park, New York.
Gail Beatty, the Hudson Valley's lead researcher of Bigfoot, says a woman...
She estimates it at between 6 and 7 feet tall.
...told her she had a violent encounter with the mysterious creature on July 2nd in Hyde Park.
This huge creature came running towards her. She heard the, you know, the bushes were parting and she heard these heavy footsteps.
And then...
The creature jumped up in the tree above her and, you know, branches and leaves started falling on her. And then the creature started to move from tree to tree. She said it was terrifying.
Beatty's team and others have submitted photos like this. Large footprints found in parts of the Hudson Valley. Large, hairy figures in the distance. And videos capturing this mysterious sound.
Wow, that is so, out of it.
It's pretty cool. So there's some people believe that this could have been an orangutan. Apparently what she saw was a brown but also reddish hair, but that's also that also fits into descriptions of Sasquatches. But the most unusual thing is the swinging, because being a big creature, you know, and they're hugely strong, they have long arms, but they... I've never been reported before, very rarely, of them like swinging through trees, because that to me is, you'd have to have a slightly less weighty undercarriage and body to be able to to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And that mysterious sound, which I love, that is a classic Sasquatch
cry. That's awesome.
You know, very loud, very piercing. So yeah, it's intriguing.
It's very intriguing.
It's so crazy.
I also think if it was an escaped orangutan, even if it was that, I would love to know just how many escaped orangutans there are around the world, or any kind of primate, because it's like that's, you know, New York State. Just there's, I just don't like if the idea of an orangutan in London, you know, roaming, it's so bizarre, as bizarre as finding Bigfoot to me. Just the idea that, so
yeah,
I wonder if anyone's done a study on that. Has anyone reported a missing orangutan? And is it?
No, not that I know of.
But would you, and I mean, this is the problem, would you even admit to losing an orangutan if you had one? Because inevitably you'd be having it illegally. And if you were to go to the cops and say, hey, my orangutan just escaped, they'd be like, hang on, you had an orangutan? Let's come and have a chat with us.
Well, in America, I think you can have these kind of exotic pets. They're trying to change the rules so that you can't. I don't know what the rules exactly are, but we all watched Tiger King, didn't we?
That's true.
On Netflix. And, you know, I think rules definitely have changed with big cats. Yeah. We know about all the big cats that are out on the loose, the alien big cats, the ABCs that we see, a lot of them in the UK, sightings here and there. You don't see too many of great apes being out on the loose.
No.
And they tend to be captured easily or are not released at all. But, you know, there was that story of the New Zealand great ape that became the hairy mohau.
That's right.
Remember Buttons, and that was reportedly from a circus at the time, wasn't it? Down your way.
That's
in
right.
Thames.
Yeah, my dad saw the hairy man of Mohau,
Your dad saw?
Yeah, yeah, and it's in this place called the Mohau Ranges, not far away from our home in Thames, our old family home. And whilst driving late at night, he saw this hairy figure running into the bush.
Wow.
There's a real difference between the movement of a chimpanzee, a great ape like an orangutan, and the very obvious bipedal humanoid movement of Sasquatch, you know, very different. And so quite scary, a scary encounter, seeing something in the trees coming towards you. To me, that sounds like chimpanzee or orangutan for sure.
Yeah.
But it could have been a baby one. And there has been sightings of smaller Sasquatch in trees, and you know, they can use them.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I've never, in all the time we've spoken about Bigfoot, Yeti, Sasquatch, I don't think we've ever spoken about toddler ones that could
really?
Fit my baby grow. Yeah, I don't think we've ever...
Yeah, smaller ones.
Yeah. Because, of course, you would have very different abilities as children do to adults, you know. We lose certain abilities, and how interesting.
Yeah.
Should I bring my story?
Yes, please.
Should we go for the next one?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the story I read this week, this is a bit of a breaking news, not nudes, breaking news in the world of cryptozoology. There's been a new sighting, in fact, quite a few new sightings, of the Monkey Man of New Delhi.
Oh.
Yeah, so multiple news sources, 5 cities in India have been covering this. There's a mysterious creature that's been appearing on rooftops at night, in yards at night, outside the front of houses, not doing anything majorly sinister. All this mysterious monkey man is doing is knocking on the doors and then running off.
Now,
yeah,
how weird.
It's pranking, basically, as far as I can tell at the moment. It's knocking on windows, it's knocking on doors, and then fleeing. And it happens after 9 p.m. at night. But the thing is, in the past last few weeks, it's been happening a lot. Multiple people are reporting it. And what they're seeing is, when they're opening the door, they're seeing something fleeing at speeds that they can't explain and jumping over fences that are far faster, that if they were attempting to chase after them, they're so fast, could never manage to do this. So they think it might be, you know, this is the sort of thought, is that it's the Monkey Man of New Delhi. I'd not heard of the Monkey Man in New Delhi before. So Monkey Man in New Delhi appeared first in May of 2001. And these reports, much like what we were just talking about in New York State, there was a sort of very tall monkey-like character that was running through. Now, the thing is this is one of those cryptids where the details are so ridiculous about it from all the reports that no one takes it seriously in any kind of way, because the Monkey Man of New Delhi has been spotted with glowing red eyes. He's covered in thick black hair, but also he's seen to be wearing a metal helmet with...
Here we go. Okay. Yeah.
With three buttons on his chest. And so,
really,
yeah. So, anytime there's
sounds
a drawing
like you,
of it,
Leon.
You got me.
Costume you've been trying to sell people on the website,
but then I knock on their door to sell them the costume, and then I get scared, and I'm just like, oh,
and you run away. You're not a confident door to door salesman.
No, I'm just a bit worried.
But so apparently this extra bit of detail is really odd, the metal helmet and the three buttons, because anytime someone is describing it to someone, like a police artist, to draw it, that's the moment when they put the pencil down and go, piss off, because, you know, a monkey with a metal helmet is, that's the moment when you stop. But apparently so many reports have been happening, and this is reported by CNN, that police have said they've run out of police cars to match the number of call-outs for the Monkey Man, knocking on their doors. So,
Jeez, that's interesting. And
genuinely, some people have died off the back of panicking and running away from what they thought was the Monkey Man in New Delhi. So actually, it's got a bit of a fatality attached to it. And the other side of it is kind of like Slender Man. The story itself has erupted into something whereby people are now pretending to be the Monkey Man. They're wearing masks and they're going out.
It becomes
and
a thing. Yeah.
It becomes a cultural thing. So it's hard to tell at this point whether or not there's anything to be investigated, or whether or not it's now become a cultural Halloweenish kind of thing to do.
Well, when I think of the helmet, I think of an extraterrestrial level to it, that if it is a creature from another world, he may have a space helmet, may have a helmet that he uses for whatever
Good
reason
point.
When he's left his ship, and also the three buttons. I mean, they could be, you know, escape, emergency, and party time. I don't know what the buttons are, but...
Party time!
I didn't call you. Get away from my door.
Party time?
No. Anyway,
escape.
Push escape. Escape.
You want some seeds?
No. Get out. I think It's very weird. And, you know, this is one of the things with the paranormal is that, yeah, it starts with one sighting, two sightings, then gets into folklore. People start to love the idea of it, start to emulate it, start to copy it, start to want to be part of it, start to, you know, and it happens across the field with ufology and cryptozoology to that point where you've got the Bigfoot hoaxes and things like that. Because we try to, you know, we want to be involved in it, and it gets really dangerous because then it's the boy who cried wolf, isn't it? Or monkey man, because you don't know what's real and what isn't. And that is the hardest thing to tackle with the naysayers in this whole field. It's because people say, oh, it's all bullshit, because one or two elements of it are bullshit. And, you know, we're not encouraging those elements, by the way. We're encouraging the real elements of the bullshit.
We're encouraging the bullshit that's believable.
But isn't it weird? Because you're telling us there that, you know, there's been fatalities and things, and so, you know, there's real serious in this, and people's families are affected. So it's really quite scary too at this time, and we're talking about a very, I'm guessing, New Delhi, very COVID heavy.
Situation there where
people are just, you know, dropping freaking like out. Flies anyway. Mm. And anyone knocking on your door in this day and age is quite frightening, no matter where you are, because you hear a knock and you think, who's that? Why is someone knocking on my door? Yeah. It's 2020. You know, shoot us a text that I can ignore. unless you've got some seeds in a bag, mate, I'm not coming. So I got to do a little plug here for this this book. It's called Somewhere in the Skies, Ryan Sprague.
Do you have to do a plug for it because he got it for free?
Yeah. He sent this to me, and I haven't read it yet, so it's not a review, but if I was to review the cover, awesome. Yeah. Love it. Looks good. So he's when we started doing our UFO podcast, I got a few the UFO guys interested and communicating with me, and he seemed like a real nice guy, this Ryan. So he sent me that book.
So that's really weird because I was on that UFO show too, and nobody's communicated with me, which or sent me any free stuff at all. So
you know, it's even weirder is I wasn't on that show yet. I've received so many free things from listeners of your show.
Well, there we have it, and we're going to try and do this every week. We're going to bring you the show in video and audio formats, and we hope you are having an okay 2020. I know it's not a good one. It's a pretty awful year, but if we can do anything to bring a bit of comedy, a bit of a smile to your face, a bit of interest, a bit of, wow, I didn't know that, that's weird. We'll try to keep it light, and we're here for you and for us. And for humanity. And that's where that sentence ends.
We're here for you, and we're here for us.
And humanity.
And humanity.
We're here for you, for us, oh yeah, and for literally every human.
Oh, these seeds are good, guys. You've got to get into them.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.